Welcome to God, Sex, and You, a daily discipleship podcast on healthy sexuality. Here's your host, Purity Pastor Dustin Daniels.
Have you ever noticed that a lot of books that deal with bad habits or addiction, they actually start with the behavior of acting out? And a lot of this material seems to be about us trying to control sin or manage sin. But that's not possible. I don't get it. We're human, which means we're not perfect, which of course means that we're sinners who desperately need our Savior, Jesus Christ. And that's why I will always teach on the unmanageability of sin. And see, that's why I think this material in these podcasts is different, and it's so important to understand. It shows us that we've had many opportunities, many different choices to not choose our behavior before we even get to this acting out phase or decision. These podcasts that started on January 2nd are from a larger lesson. It's called The Sex Spiral, Forgiven and Free from Pornography. The Sex Spiral is a set of awareness triggers that explain the location as to where you are in the habit or the bondage, the addiction to pornography. And make no doubt about it, man, porn is a series of predictable habits that we've created for ourselves. The bad news is that we don't even realize it. But the good news is that you're listening to a map. And when you know where you are inside your map, when you know where you are inside this habit, when you've got a map in your hands that you can follow, you can then choose to break the habit. In today's podcast, we're going to discuss three things. Number one, how sex creates an atmosphere of fearlessness. Number two, what happens to our brains during an orgasm. And number three, how the consequences of sexual sin are like a tsunami wave. So let's get started with today's lesson. This is Four Criteria of Sex Addiction. You may or may not be an addict in here, but the reality is that there is no need to distinguish sexual sin from sexual addiction, because they're both sin, right? One's just a habitual sin, and one is
recreational.
Thank you. Recreational sin. There are four criteria of sexual addiction. When you talk about acting out, this is where you want to have this conversation, because we're talking about, this is where the pleasure actually is, that you experience the pleasure in the acting out. So on your worksheet there, you'll see four criteria of sexual addiction. You can just make some notes if you want. Number one's the unmanageability. And this just means that you're admitting to yourself, you're admitting to your spouse, you're admitting to God that this thing is out of control, that you are literally just powerless over your pleasure. You know this by how much time that you've spent, how much money that you've spent. A lot of guys will go, well, wait a second, Dustin, I don't pay for porn, I just look at the free stuff.
Same thing.
And I go, well, okay, well, how's your tithing? Well, I'm not, wait. Well, there's $3,100 every second spent on pornography. And everybody's telling me they're not paying for pornography. Everybody's watching the free stuff. Somebody's paying for it, right? And by the way, most of us shop online. Credit cards are in our little computers here. Man, when you're looking for that free stuff, they got those spiders just waiting to rip your credit cards off and steal your identity and everything else. You spoke on tithing a couple of weeks ago to your local church. Lots of guys in porn don't do that. And I would just point you back to the same passage that Jerry quoted, Malachi 3:6.
If you're not doing that, your money is cursed. Unmanageability also includes keeping track of your lies. Is it hard for you to keep track of all your lies? Have you acted out knowing that there would be serious consequences? You did this and you knew that something was going to happen. Marital consequences, legal consequences. Put yourself and others in danger by having unprotected sex. Number two is the progression and the tolerance. It's kind of a slow corruption. It's a slow death. You've got a secret immoral lifestyle that only you know about. One thing that we know that you got a serious problem with habitual sin is when you say that you want help, but you're unwilling to tell people the whole story. You're still holding 10, 15, 20% back because the shame has got you so wrapped up. And we refuse to tell people the story because we're still living inside the story of our unhealthy thoughts. We're still making our big decisions based out of unhealthy thoughts or shame right here. Number three, sex is mood altering. We all have a biology of sexual attraction. A sexual sin actually adjusts the neurochemistry in our brains in negative ways, not good ways. But the amazing thing is that the brain actually adjusts to what you put inside of it. So if you want more pornography, if you want more strip clubs, if you want more whatever, you simply indulge inside the actual sin. And you got a couple different things that happen. You've got testosterone, dopamine, oxytocin, vasopressin. These are all chemicals that are inside what's called the prefrontal cortex of your brain, the pleasure center of your brain. And what happens is when you are acting out, when you have an orgasm, it actually shuts down your amygdala, which is part of your brain. And when that shuts down, you actually become worry-free. And it's almost like a sense of peace that you've been looking for. We all want peace. If we're worry-free, then we do have a sense of peace. And that's why we take such huge risk with this sin. So let's talk about the negative consequences. Take 2 minutes and write down 10 negative consequences on the bottom of your sheet there. 10 negative consequences. And we're going to talk about these in our small groups tonight. By the time that we get to this trigger, it's way too late for sin management. In fact, that there really is no such thing as sin management. There's so much buildup. There's so much unhealthy thoughts, the temptation itself, the resistance, the rationalization, the hiddenness. I mean, we're just going around the cycle. There is no way to manage anything. Because why? Because we didn't pray, confess, or flee. And when we do that, we have trusted in the weakest person on the face of the planet. And that's ourselves. I mean, we can't even think through the actual acting out the promised pleasure to the consequences, can we? We don't even think that. But once we make the conscious and the willful decision to sin, and then we look back and then we wish and we pray that we wouldn't have done what we just did, it's way too late for that. The consequences are coming. There's no way to avoid them. So think of it like a tsunami wave, right? You guys all seen footage of tsunami waves? So you basically have the sea floor that shifts, boom, like this, and then the actual sea itself starts to tumble over like this, and this could be 1,000 miles outside of out of land. So it could take days to actually reach land. But once it's like an earthquake, think of an earthquake underneath the water, boom, this thing starts to shift. That's what happens. We go through this, and especially right here, to where we make that that actual decision, it's that tsunami starts to come towards us. There's no way to avoid the tsunami wave in your life. If you Google tsunami wave on YouTube, you'll understand the wrath of destruction that is coming your way. Same with tornadoes. So when we think on this side of acting out, so before we sin, we think that we can either manage or eliminate the consequences over here. That's part of this, right? This rationalization. It's not going to be that bad. I'm not going to get caught. Turn your Bibles to Proverbs 14:12. Proverbs 14:12. There is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way to death. It seems like if I would just do this, it seems like if I don't need to call. I'll listen to some worship music instead of calling him. I'll replace that. I don't need to send text. I don't need to engage. See, every time that we say something like that, we're trusting in ourselves, which is the weakest place on the face of the planet. Jesus had some pretty interesting things to say about habitual sin. Turn your Bibles to Mark 9:43. The Gospel of Mark, chapter 9, verse 43. If your hand causes you to sin, well, cut it off. These are the words of Jesus. It's better to enter eternal life with only one hand than go into the unquenchable fires of hell with two hands. If your foot causes you to sin, cut it off. It's better to enter eternal life with only one foot than to be thrown into hell with two feet. And if your eye causes you to sin, gouge it out. It's better to enter the kingdom of God with only one eye and have two eyes than to have two eyes to be thrown in hell, where the maggots never die and the fire never goes out. For everyone will be tested with fire. Flip over to Matthew 5, verse 27. Matthew 5, 27, Jesus says, you've heard the commandment that says, don't commit adultery. I tell you, even the person who looks at a woman with lust has already committed adultery with her in his heart. So if your eye, even your good eye, causes you to lust, gouge it out, throw it away. It's better for you to lose one part of your body than for your whole body to be thrown into hell. If your hand, even your strong hand, causes you to sin, cut it off, throw it away. It's better for you to lose one part of your body than for your whole body to be thrown in hell. So what's the point? Is Jesus being hyperbolic here? Is he exaggerating, or is he being literal?
I think he's trying to make a point of how serious he's trying to get you to think about the sin.
Mm-hmm. I wonder too, I'm sure it's not maybe what Christ meant by it, but when I kind of think of kind of what I'm going through as well, but with awareness, and when it talks about cutting out, you know, your hand or your eye, it's recognizing as well the things in my life, at least for me as well, the impact of if they lead to that sin as well. You know what I mean? And it may not necessarily be my hand, but if it's a magazine or a certain aisle you walk down, you know, at a grocery store, that is part of your problem.
It's part of your routine, yeah.
Right. So, you just can't ever go down there again. Or, you know, and granted, I know that he's talking about your hand, but I kind of take it like that as well, that you have to find the areas in your life that where the sin is originating from, you know, and at least it helps when you do eliminate those, then it gives you a little more room.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think you meant literally, otherwise I'd be walking around with no hands and no eyes.
We all would.
I mean, why aren't we seeing more eye patches in church? Right? The reality is that my personal theological view is that Jesus is being hyperbolic here. He's making this unbelievably, uh, this this claim that's so radical to get your attention. Because even if one of us did that in here, if I gouged my eye out, would I still be able to lust? If I gouged both my eyes out, would I still be able to lust?
Yeah.
It's imprinted forever.
Right? If I cut my hand off, would I still be able to steal? If I cut, see, it's what he's saying is this is a heart issue, guys, but it's so serious that I'm going to make these unbelievable claims to get your attention. Because the bigger point to this is, if you gouge your eye out, and you're still doing what you've always done, and there's nothing in you that is prompting you to change, that's where the real problem is. Because if you've accepted Christ and the Holy Spirit is in you, He's prompting you to change, unless you've quenched Him so much that He's not. But you can still work on that. But the reality is that this is a struggle. This is something that we should be fighting against every time that we enter into the spiral itself. We shouldn't be put on robot mode or just automatic. And as soon as we become aware of something, that we just give in. That I believe that's the point of Jesus. It was an interesting conversation that we were having in seminary class about this passage, and it was interesting to get the other take with some of the other men. Is it literal? I don't know. It's kind of where you get to make your own choice, right? You get to actually do your own what's called exegesis of exegete the actual scripture and work it out yourself. The whole issue here is that we don't get to this point, because as soon as you go into hiding, you're going to go act out, and then as soon as you act out, you're going to go withdraw yourself. You're going to go isolate yourself and pull yourself away. So let's get into our groups. Let's talk about the consequences. Did everybody come up with 10? Really?
I've got 9 right now, but I'm sure I'll get some more ideas.
One time I had to do this, we had to come up with 100.
Wow.
And you can.
Oh yeah.
When you start thinking about how your behavior sets off a domino effect of the relationships around you, you're going to find out that your sin has hurt dozens of other people that you would never even think of. Yeah, 100 consequences. So let's talk about that. Let's talk about your week. Let's confess sin. And let's also talk about, are you guys in the battle with this? Do we recognize this as something that Jesus says, look, if this habitual sin is in your life, let's do something about it. Let's do something drastic about it. I remember for the first 3 or 4 or 5 years, I was yelling at you guys. I would always say, get rid of the cable. Get rid of your cable. Get rid of your cable. He literally told me, I will never get rid of my cable. I'll never do it. 2 years later, guess what? He got rid of his cable.
Some very practical and sensible things to think about as we wrap this lesson up today. So what about you? Have you ever considered getting rid of your cable? What about your TV? You know, I got to tell you, Amy and I did that for about 5 years, and it was cool, man. It was great. It allowed me to detox from the world. I didn't watch any news. That just kind of amped me up all the time. And it obviously, it reduced the temptation of lust. It also brought our marriage closer together, because instead of sitting together staring at a box, we were able to actually talk without interruption. Today, Amy and I, we do watch television. It's only through a smart TV to where we've got better control of what we watch together. Have you ever considered what is causing you to stumble right now? Have you heard the promptings of the Lord in this area to get rid of something in your life? But you're just waiting and you're hesitating. Well, we all have. And I want to share with you that the Lord isn't a cosmic killjoy in this area. He's simply trying to protect you from you. I love what Pastor James McDonald says. He says, when God says don't, he's saying don't hurt yourself. Have you waited to install a filtering software on your computer, your phone? Why do you think that is? Really? I mean, are we telling ourselves, you know, well, it's going to take too long to install and set up, and it might make my computer do this and that? Are you telling yourself, oh, I don't want to pay a monthly fee? What's the real reason? What's the real reason? Better yet, I want to encourage you to ask the Lord what the real reason is why you haven't done this yet. I've personally used Covenant Eyes filtering software for years. It allows me to avoid exposing myself. It allows me to avoid doing something stupid like searching for porn when I'm in a weak moment. It protects my family and my friends from the evils of pornography. And make no doubt about it, man, this pornography stuff is flat out evil. It's just evil. So let me encourage you to visit CovenantEyes.com today. That's CovenantEyes, CovenantEyes.com. And when you do, you'll receive a 30-day free trial when you put my full name in the promo box with no spaces. And when you sign up, you're also supporting this podcast. Thank you so much for listening to God, Sex, and You. I'm Dustin Daniels. And if you're in Phoenix, I want to invite you to our weekly community group. It's for men and women, husbands and wives, single, divorce, everyone. And I mean everybody is invited. We meet at Northern Hills Community Church Tuesdays at 7 p.m. And we're in Building A, Room 301. You can follow me on Twitter at Purity Pastor, and I would love to hear from you. If you got a question that you'd like me to respond to, you can email me at DustinDanielsRadio.com. The Apostle Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 4:20, the kingdom of God isn't just a lot of talk. It's living in God's power, the power that's in the very name and the shed blood of Jesus Christ. I love you and look forward to our time again tomorrow.